Today's daf in Masechet Yevamot, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Samach Zayin, and we are holding right there at the Halakha Mishnah. So continuing on now with our investigation in the way in which the marriage allows achilas truma. And remember, we have opposite situations, both of which have this strange relationship to the issue of Yibum, because in a case where you have a non-Kohenet woman who is married to a Kohen, if that Kohen dies without children, she loses her right to eat truma. But if she has children from that Kohen, then the continued presence of the children allow her to continue eating truma. Very similar to the situation of the ongoing presence of a husband in the event that he left children. And here too, the halacha is, as we saw before, that we look to as many generations as we have to, even if there's a grandchild that's left. But we also have the opposite situation. In a case where a bat kohen, who has been eating truma from her father her whole life, now she goes out and she marries a Yisrael, she is not allowed to eat truma any longer. But if that Yisrael dies, then she goes back to eating truma just as before. However, and this is the juxtaposition, if the Yisrael leaves a child behind, then she cannot go back to her father's home to eat truma. So we actually have these two opposite situations, and you'd think that they would be completely parallel, but we'll see that they are not really completely parallel, and sometimes we can stop someone from eating truma because of the presence of a child, but that is not sufficient to provide eating truma with the position of a child. So let's take a look at the case. Says the Halakha Mishnah, a bat Yisrael shenisait lekohen, and then the kohen dies, and he leaves her, in this case, pregnant. Ah, so now we have a curious situation. What's going to happen here is, remember what we've established until now. We've established that there's a difference between avdei melug and avdei tzon barzel. In the event that there were avdei tzon barzel, then those avadim eat because of the fact that they belong to the Baal directly. In the case of avdei melug, if the mother, in this case the wife, is eating, so then her avdei melug will eat. Now, consider the situation. If the kohen was alive, then remember we had an additional amazing limud, which is that even a grand kinyan of a kohen is able to eat. So in that case, we have another reason to allow the avdei melug to eat. And that is whether or not the mother is eating, as long as the kohen is alive, they are also a grand kinyan of the kohen, because his wife is a kinyan and she has the kinyan in the melug. But now let's consider the situation where the avadim are present, but the man, the kohen, that made all this happen has died. So what's the situation? So we said that the avdei melug, yesterday, remember, we had a very important machlokas about whether the woman has a right to demand back her Louis XVI china. But that is irrelevant to our question over here. Obviously, the same question would apply to avadim. She could say, hey, these avadim have been with our family for 30 years. I don't want you to keep them, even though I brought in. So find that, according to Rabbi Yehuda, in fact, that would be a valid taina. And yesterday we said that that's the halacha. But here we're talking about, remember, that the fact that there is a potential for her to have a suit like that only gives her a lien. It doesn't give her ownership. So we're talking about over here, immediately upon the death of the Kohen, there's been no probate on the will. She hasn't gone to court. What happens right now? The next day after the death of her husband. Now, technically speaking, until such time that she would sue, assuming she wants to sue, until such time that she sues, the avdei tzon barzel belong to the heirs of her husband. And of course, they have to pay her because it was all written up in her ketubah and it was all evaluated and so on. But as far as the actual avadim are concerned, the body of the avadim belonged to the family of Kohanim. So therefore, no matter what the situation is, whoever the family is, I mean, if the Kohen has children, so fine, Baruch Avram is falling asleep. This is not a good sign. My gosh. Okay, here we go. We got him back. All right. So in this case, whoever the family is, whether it's the children, whether it's his children or it's from her, or it's his children from another wife, or even if he doesn't have any children, ultimately, these avodim are going to follow the path of Yerusha, which always goes up and then goes back down, and they're going to be owned by Kohanim, right? So therefore, meanwhile, these avodim eat truma because they're owned by Kohanim. What about the melug? Well, that depends. Now the melug are no longer the grand kinyan of a kohen because the kohen is dead. They're hers. So then it depends. If she is able to eat truma, so then the avanim will eat truma because of her. If she's not allowed to eat truma, then the avanim will not be able to eat truma. Okay, all of this is clear. How about if she's pregnant? What is the din in a case where he leaves her pregnant when he dies? So in that case, her personal avanim cannot actually eat truma. The reason that they cannot eat truma is because of the fact that since she is pregnant, there is an additional problem over here of the fetus. So the question over here is, what happens because of the fetus? She has other children. So you'd say, okay, so I don't get it. So what's the problem? If she has other children, she herself, of course, can continue eating. And if that's the case, you would think that the same thing would be true of avodim, which are which are tzon barzel. So what's the problem over here? The problem is that if the fetus is an heir, so then he owns some of those or some part of those avodim, right? So then the tzon barzel, those are going to be a problem in this case, instead of what you would think for sure would be allowed to eat. Because who owns the tzon barzel? The father's heirs. But the problem is, we're going to see that if one of those heirs is unborn, then he cannot feed truma. Now, there's two possibilities for that. One is because the Torah said, yelid beito. And yelid beito, hu yochal, which we darshan to mean hu ya'achil. So that means that only someone who was born has the power to provide truma to someone because of his presence. In this case, he is not present to be able to, because he's unborn, so he can't feed truma to his avadim, but technically he owns the avadim, so we got a problem. Therefore, strangely, the tzon barzel have to stop eating, but she can eat, and therefore she can give her own nichsei melug, which include her own personal avadim, because they are completely hers. Has nothing to do with relying on the fetus for anything, right? Fine. So this is fantastic. Okay. And the reason that this is true is because, and here's our first example of the non-parallel between a din of feeding truma versus the din of preventing a kohenet to be able to eat truma in the event that it's married to Yisrael. And here is the rule. An uber, so an unborn fetus, will pasul from eating truma. So that means that if a bat kohen goes ahead and marries a Yisrael, so he, if he dies, normally she'd be able to go back to her father's house. But if he dies leaving her pregnant, then she is not able to go back and eat truma. And that means that on the one hand, this uber will prevent the achila of truma, in assuming that all she's got is just this fetus. Doesn't matter. That fetus stops her from going back. But in the opposite case, if she is a bat Yisrael who is married to a kohen, and the kohen dies and leaves her with a fetus, that fetus is not able to provide food, not for her to allow her to eat truma, and not for her avodim. So our first example of an uneven halacha of the status of the uber, we're going to see that there's quite a few things that have this lack of symmetry. Each one of them has to be understood why that would be true. So says Rabbi Yossi. Now, as I mentioned before, there's another possible reason for an Uber not being able to feed Truma. And that is a curious question. If the Uber is in the womb of a non-Kohen and he's not born yet, is the Uber a Kohen? That's a different question. Because right now, he's part of his mother. But his mother is not a Kohenet. And he's not considered to be a ben to his father until he's born. Meanwhile, he's just a part of his mother's body. So how can he be Machal Truma if he isn't even a Kohen? That is called Uber Bime'ezara Zaru. That if you have a fetus in the uterus of a non-Kohenet, then he is not a Kohen. He's a Zar. Now, that's actually a machloket, as we're going to see. So it means there's two possible reasons for why it would be that an Uber cannot feed Truma, either because he's not a Kohen, even though his father was a Kohen, or it's because an Uber is not included in the pasuk of Yelid Beito, and therefore, not being Yalud, he cannot be Machil. So says Rabbi Yossi. Omru lo. So the Chachomim said to Rabbi Yossi, there's something very inconsistent in your logic over here. I mean, if on the one hand you're telling us, Abat Yisrael Kohen, you're talking about a case, Bat Yisrael Shenisait Kohen Vinicha Mu'uberet. I mean, I don't get it. What if it wouldn't have been a Bat Yisrael? What if she would have been a Bat Kohen? Okay, so she's a Bat Kohen, marries a Kohen, she's currently pregnant. So then is it not still a problem that the Uber owns her avdates on Barzel? What's the difference what she is? Who cares? We're not talking about the Malug here. We're talking about the Tzon Barzel. So then Af Bat Kohen Lo Kohen should be exactly the same. If the problem is simply the fact that an Ubar cannot feed Truma, so then the Avodim should not be allowed to eat Truma. Mipnei Chelko Shel Ubar. Now that obviously depends on whether the logic for why an Uber cannot provide Truma, is it because he's a non-Kohen? Well, then there's an obvious reason why Rabbi Yossi wouldn't have talked about a case where a Kohenet was the one who was left pregnant, because then there's no problem of the Uber being Ma'achil. And that's what the Chachomim seem to assume in Rabbi Yossi. They say to Rabbi Yossi, it should be the same. If the logic is because Uber b'mei zara, it's not a Kohen, so then an Uber being a Kohenet is a Kohen. So it must be that the Chachomim are assuming that Rabbi Yossi's logic is because the very fact that the Uber is yet unborn means that he cannot be Ma'achil based on the pasuk of Yelid Beito Ya'achil, which is the way we understand the drash of the pasuk. And therefore, that's the first question that the Gemara has. Iboilu, what is the logic behind Rabbi Yossi's position? Is the reason time of the Rabbi Yossi Mishum the Kasavar Ubar b'me'ezara zaru? Is it because he's not a Kohen, this Uber, because she isn't a Kohenes, and until he's born, he's not a Kohen? Oh, Dilma, maybe the logic is that Yulud ma'achil, but she'eno Yulud, eno ma'achil. Only because of the pasuk Yelid Beito, hu ya'achil bo, we darshan, and that would mean that since the Avde Tzon Barzel are owed by an Uber, and he can't feed them Truma, so they're going to have to stop eating Truma. Now, those are two very different reasons. Now, basically, the issue is also the question of whether an Uber is a fetus considered to be part of the mother's body, that's called Ubar Yerech Imo, or is an Uber considered to be a distinct entity? Is there a difference, says the Gemara? So practically speaking, what's a nafkamina? What Rabbi Yossi's thoughts are? L'may nafkamina, the obvious difference is where the mother was not a Bat Yisrael. The mother was a Kohenet. So if the mother is a Kohenet, so then if the only problem is that an Uber B'mei Zara is not a Kohen, in this case, it's not an Uber B'mei Zara. If Rabbi Yossi's logic is that any unborn fetus cannot provide Truma, so then this is another case of an unborn fetus. What's the difference whether the mother is a Yisrael or whether the mother is a Kohenet? So that would be the nafkamina. My, I want to know the answer. Omar Rabba, clearly the reasoning of Rabbi Yossi is because the Kasavar Uber Bame'ezara Zaru. And that makes a lot of sense, of course, because we saw that certainly the Chachomim and the Mishnah who attack Rabbi Yossi, they certainly make that assumption, right? So therefore, it says Rabba, that's the way to understand it. Rabbi Yosef says, no. The issue over here is that Rabbi Yossi holds a Yulud is Ma'achil and an Eino Yulud is Eino Ma'achil, and it has nothing to do with Uber Yerach Imo. It has to do with the fact that it's a drusha in the Pasuk. Yulid Beito Hu Yochalbo. Ask the Gemara, then how do you understand the Mishnah? In the Mishnah, it says that the Chachomim attacked Rabbi Yossi and they said to him, well, the Akashi Adat Alonu Abat Yisrael Kohen. And it's, why did you only say the case of Bat Yisrael Kohen? A Bat Kohen the Kohen, what would be the din? Now here, this is an ongoing, we have some more information here in the Braita, because we have a response of Rabbi Yossi in the Braita. The Mishnah, we only heard the attack. Over here, we hear his response to the attack. So he said to him, Omar Lahem, well, that's because the only case that I was Makabel was this case, and only this case. So Zo Shamati, Zolo Shamati. I was not Makabel that was Mutter. Now, look, if there's a difference between the two cases, it makes sense for Rabbi Yossi to say, well, I only heard about that case. If there's no difference between the two cases, because they're predicated on the concept of Yulud Ma'achil, Ve'enu Yulud Eino Ma'achil, what do you mean Zulo Shamati? You're telling me I only heard a case where the mother was dressed in a red dress, but I didn't hear about a case where the mother's in a green dress? I mean, well, that's nothing to do with anything. So obviously, if Rabbi Yossi gives that kind of response, he's saying, now, wait a minute, guys, you're jumping to the conclusions, right? So, Iyam bet Bishlama uber bime'ezara zaru. If it was a sfora here, based on the fact that the child, the fetus, I should say, cannot be machil because he's not a Kohen, then that makes sense for Rabbi Yossi to say, well, I didn't hear anything about a problem that has to do with just the fact that it's a fetus. I heard the problem is that it's an issue of whether it's a Kohen. Fine. So then he's telling them, look, you may think that's a good reason. That's not the halacha that I was Makabel. So then he's telling them, Zu Shamati, Zu Lo Shamati. But if you're going to tell me, like Rabbi Yossi, that Rabbi Yosef is claiming in Rabbi Yossi, that it's a din in the Pasuk and Yulud Ma'achil and Eino Yulud, Eino Ma'achil, what the heck is the difference? Whether it's a Bas Kohen that we're talking about that's pregnant or Bas Yisrael that's pregnant. It doesn't make any sense. Why would he bring up a non-issue? My Zu Shamati, Vizu Lo Shamati, he. It's the same exact case. I mean, the question of whether she's a Kohenet or not is completely irrelevant. So Rabbi Yosef's approach is terrible. Kasha, I mean, look, yes, that's a problem. No question about it. It is much more likely that we should take the approach that fits in very clearly into the Mishnah and Braita. So in that case, the problem would be a question of Zarut and not a problem of an unborn fetus that ipso facto can never go ahead and provide. So now we see that according to Rabbi Yossi, so far we didn't meet anybody who said Beferish not like this. According to Rabbi Yossi, the presence of an Uber prevents the Avodim of Tzon Barzel from eating Truma. Omer of Yudah Omer Shmuel. Well, that's all very nice if you agree with Rabbi Yossi. Zudivir Rabbi Yossi. Avo Chachamim Omrim. Look, if this Kohen has other children, so what's the problem? That there's a fetus. Who cares about that? The other children are able to provide Truma. So then the Tzon Barzel Avodim are Ochli Mishum Banim. And if he doesn't have children, somebody in the family is going to inherit him, right? And whoever inherits him, since the family goes according to the father, so then if he doesn't have any banim, ein lo banim ochli mishum achim, so then his brothers will inherit him. If he doesn't have brothers, so then the next ones down will inherit him, whatever it is, his nephews, or it'll go up to his great uncle, whatever the case is. So therefore, why does the fact that the Uber exists make a problem for Tzon Barza? I don't understand. Now, let's try to figure out what the issue is over here. But when Shmuel said, well, this is all I'm really sorry about the way I sound. That's so hard to talk. So when Shmuel said, well, this is all very nice according to Rabbi Yossi, that seems to imply that he doesn't think very highly of Rabbi Yossi's opinion, right? So the mashmaut is that, zo, these are the words, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't think that that's true. Lo sfirulei, the mashmaut is that Shmuel argues on Rabbi Yossi. But the problem is that Shmuel said to Rav Chana bar Gadita, and he said to him, get me 10 people, not hiding behind names. So we welcome Gavi. That's still not enough. I need 10 people in front of whom I can tell you so that the word gets out clearly that this is the psak. The Emelech Haban Payu HaMezakeh Le'ubar Kana. Somebody gives something. There we go. There we go. Somebody gives something to an Uber. He is Zoch. Okay, now what does that mean? It means that a fetus is considered to have ownership. It says over here that if somebody gives a gift, then the Uber owns that gift. If that's Shmuel's main point, so then why is there not a problem if the Uber owns the Nichse Tzon Barzel? Why is he saying, nah, there's no problem, because if there's brothers, then the Tzon Barzel will eat for the brothers. That's all very nice if there's brothers, but there's also an Uber. What we'll have to say is that the trup was wrong, meaning we read it with the wrong tonality. You know, just because Shmuel said, well, that's all fine if you hold like Rabbi Yossi, that's all very nice. What he actually said was, well, that's great if you hold like Rabbi Yossi. Okay, so it all depends on how you read it. So that's the way we should have read it. Most things in life are like that. Okay, so now it means zoo, and he agrees with it. Okay, so then one second. So then what's the point of his statement? What's he trying to tell me? That Pligi Rabbanan alei de Rabbi Yossi, that there's an argument and that you shouldn't take Rabbi Yossi for granted? I'm not sure that that would be true. Umi Pligi, is there really a machlokas? Because, I mean, if he's saying, oh, great if you hold like Rabbi Yossi, he's implying, oh, there are those people who don't hold of Rabbi Yossi, but they're definitely wrong. But where are there people who don't hold of Rabbi Yossi? Umi Pligi, do we find a machlokas? Richie didn't say that he argues on Rabbi Yossi. So who is the one who argues? Masiv Rabbi Zakkai, we find that Rabbi Zakkai, it said, Zo edoti id Rabbi Yossi mipi Shemayav Avtalion, that what Rabbi Yossi said came from Shemayav Avtalion, and it was a testimony that he gave in Idyas. Vahodulo, the Chachamim agreed, yes, absolutely, this is true. Omer Rashi, yeah, it says they agreed. It didn't say that they said he was right. Well, agreed means it sure sounds like it ought to be right. But, I mean, we're not accepting it as a given just because you said it over. I mean, we can't rely on you. You're not someone who's able to be made. So, therefore, it doesn't say Vikiblu. It just says they agreed. Hodulo, that means yep, makes a lot of sense. But, okay, so Mistaber timing. So maybe, in fact, that's what Shmuel was coming to say. You should know, not everyone agrees with Rabbi Yossi. I do, but not everybody does. Tana Rabbana. So let's take a look at some expansion of the sugya over here. A Kohen dies, and he leaves sons. So then the Nichse Malug, they get to eat, because she's going to continue to eat because there are children. If there's children, even if she wasn't a Kohenet, she continues to eat after her husband dies. And the Tzon Barzel also continue to eat, obviously, because they're owned by the family. But suppose he leaves her pregnant and he does not have any sons. All he's got is a fetus. So he nichami uberet. So that you see here, by the way, again, remember this was a big sugi in the dinim of Yibum, right? Emi uberet. So what's the situation? Because we don't know if it's going to be an actual surviving child. But the Milbert, we had that whole period of Suffolk. She's not allowed to go ahead and marry anybody else, and so on and so forth. Then we had the Machlokas, whether the Yibum even works, or Chalitza would work during the time that she's Milbert, and so on and so forth. So this is, again, another parallel in these dinim of what is the presence of a husband where there is a child or where there is a fetus. So the halacha is over there that if he only left her pregnant, so then neither of them can eat because the fetus is not enough to provide a non-kohenet mother to eat, and therefore her avadim can't eat, and the tzon barzel can't eat because it's a fetus. Okay? Now, suppose there was both. Suppose there were children, and there's also a fetus. So then we've got a problem, because in that case, we have elu ve'elu in ochlim. In this case, sorry, iniach both banim and mu'beret, I'm up to, right? Yeah. So iniach banim v'inicha mu'beret. So then, if there are children, she continues to eat. And because of that, her avanim continue to eat. Avdei melug ochlim k'derech shehiel chelet. But in this case, she's pregnant, and therefore, the avdei tzon barzel, which are owned by the family, the heirs, cannot eat, because one of the heirs is a fetus. And as we said, an uber is not machil. Shea uber posel, according to Rabbi Yossi, ve'eno machil, divrei Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yossi, omer mishum aviv. Now Rabbi Shmuel quoted his father, who is Rabbi Yossi, and he quoted his father as saying some very fascinating things that we're going to have to figure out what they mean. A daughter allows others to eat truma, but a son does not allow others to eat truma. What? That doesn't, on the surface, that's absolutely wild. What would that mean? Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Omer, if there are males, doesn't matter how many children there are. If there's one male, so if there's males between them, then the tzon barzel is able to eat. But if all of the children are female, then if she's pregnant, then the avdei tzon barzel can't eat. Because if the fetus turns out to be a male, so then it's the only heir, because the banot don't get in the place of a ben. Wait, what? If there's a problem with a fetus, what's the difference? I don't understand. Why are you saying, if you're telling me, maybe the fetus is male, yeah, and if the fetus is female, so then she inherits along with the other females. But I thought that an uber can't be machil. So why is it a question if it's a male? Even in a keva would possible, right? So if she inherits all of these avadim, it's the same case as the opening case of Rabbi Yossi. No, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai is saying two different points. Saying, first of all, plus, because first of all, look, even if she would be in a keva, she would pass. Furthermore, it may be that the fetus is a zohar, and then the banot would not have anything but mokam ben. Now, I know you think that this is just a bunch of additional nonsense, because what are you adding? I mean, if it makes absolutely no difference, so why would he say maybe the fetus is male? However, it does make a very big difference. That's why it says chodah va'od. Because as we're going to see later, if there is a problem with the fetus being ma'achil, there's a little trick that can be done to allow the tzon barzel to eat. And what is that? Bezdin can appoint a court-appointed apotropos, right? So how do you say that in English? I forget. You know, where you appoint someone.
Guardian.
An administrator.
Guardianship.
Guardian, yes, thank you. So you can have a court-appointed guardian, which is appointed for all of the heirs, if they're all ketanim, or can be appointed for the fetus, which that allows the court to apportion the various things in the estate. So in order to avoid the problem of the ownership of tzon barzel by the fetus, all we need to do is give the fetus something instead of the avadim, and therefore the fetus won't own any part of the avadim. So we'll give him an extra stereo. I guess they don't have those anymore. There used to be these little things that, just shows how old you are, you know. Well, we'll give them an extra, what do they have nowadays? Gosh. Ah, yes, we can give him an extra Beam Me Up Scotty Zoom set. Ha, that's exactly what we need for this Daf Yomi. It's wonderful that we should stumble across one just the day we needed it. So anyway, that way there's no Avarim that are owned by the fetus. But in this case, you see, if the fetus turns out to be a male, so then he's the only heir. So you can't give him a Beam Me Up, even if Beam Me Up would get him out of that womb. You'd have a big problem because he's still the only heir, right? Okay. So that's why it is important. And I'm only bringing it out because it's disturbing to hear a Chod of Aod that's just plain old silly. Obviously, a Chod of Aod has to be adding data. Okay, now, let's go on to the next thing. Then Rav Shimon Bar Yochai said that if there's any males, then the Avadim Tzon Barzo can eat. Wait a minute. He said that in a case where she's pregnant. I thought if there's a pregnancy, so then the Tzon Barzo can't eat. Isn't that what Rav Yossi said? Ah, that's because Kasavar Ein Choshishin Lemi'uta. We do not have to worry about the chance that the Uber is an heir. Because if there are no males, then we do have to worry. But if there's definitely a male, now what are you going to tell me? Okay, we know there is a male heir, right? And that means if the Uber is a female, then the Uber doesn't own anything. So you'll say, okay, but maybe the Uber is not a female. Okay, what are the chances that an Uber is not a female? 50-50, let's say, right? Grossly speaking. So we have a right to rely on a 50-50. But 50-50 will not cause any problems. Why? Because you also have an additional 0.5% of pregnancies that do not actually end up with a live birth. And therefore, if you're taking a look at what are the chances that we have a problem in an heir, they're less than 50%. And because of that, it's a miut. According to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, I'm not going to worry about the miut. As long as I know that there is a Kohen who owns this Eved, the Eved can eat. He said, but maybe somebody else owns him. So maybe. Maybe yes, maybe not. That's the point of Ein Choshishin Lemi'uta. I don't worry about that. That's one very simple approach to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Now, there is another possibility. Even if Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai holds that Choshishin Lemi'uta, there's always a way out of the problem. And the way out is, as I said before, let the court appoint a guardian, and then we'll fix things up. Davdina le takanta. What's the takanta? How can we fix the problem of the fetus? Well, Reb Nachman explained how we fix it according to Shmuel. Reb Nachman, let's say that you've got a problem. Forget about a kahuna problem, a kahuna problem. What happens is there's a widow who is pregnant. There's a family business. The kids are fighting over the Yerusha. They're driving each other crazy, and there's no way to probate the will because there's the possibility of this other fetus. We're not going to be able to fix things up if we don't deal with the fetus. So what do we do? So Reb Nachman Amar Shmuel said, it's not a problem. Beit Din Ma'amidim Lehem Apotropos. All you need to do is get a court-appointed guardian for each one of these young orphans, and he can be borer, each one of them, fight it out on behalf of their particular charge, and they're borer lehem chelek yafeh. Now, when they end up growing up, if they don't like what it is that the court did, so then they can reopen the case, and they can protest that they want to have another choice. This is what Reb Nachman reported from Shmuel. Reb Nachman himself does not agree. He does agree that we can appoint the guardian, but he says, once a court makes a determination like this, you can't come back and say, I don't like it. That's part of the power of the court. Remember that there's a fundamental principle, which is called Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker. And Bezdin can do whatever the heck they like with the money. And therefore, if a court does it, then it has a full and permanent backing of the court. And therefore, Reb Nachman himself says, what do you mean they can protest? They can't protest. Higdilu, ein yecholim limchot. In Canaan, you can allow people to protest. So then what you're saying is that this is not really a court thing, that this is just arbitration. So what do we need a court for? No, the whole point is over here that a court-appointed guardianship is not arbitration. And therefore, it's absolutely binding permanently. Anyway, but that's a very much a tangential problem. But the bottom line, says Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, is not because maybe I don't care about the miut, maybe I do. But even if I do, there's a solution. And the solution is to do the kind of thing that we just learned, that Shmuel said we can do. So therefore, we'll use that same idea over here for the case of the Truma. It's exactly the same issue. Okay, so then we said, according to the Tanakhama, Tzon Barzel can never eat Truma if there is an Uber. According to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, they can't eat Truma because we always, either because of the miut problem or because of the fact that there's a way out of the problem of the possibility that the fetus is a male. So Lema, the Reb Nachman Tanoihi, so does that mean? I mean, it's weird that we should find that what Reb Nachman was saying in the name of Shmuel ends up being machlokas between Reb Shimon Bar Yochai and the Tanakhama. Remember, now we have three shitot. We have Reb Yossi, and we have Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, and we've got the Chachamim. And that means, so according to Reb Yossi, we don't seem to have, we always have a problem with a fetus. According to the Chachamim, so we said over there that would mean, according to them, Tzon Barzel will never eat. We have the issue of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who seems to be saying, yes, even if there's a fetus, it can eat as long as there's a male. And that would mean that what? The machlokas between Reb Nachman? I mean, the statement of Reb Nachman is machlokas between Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and the Tanakhama? That doesn't make sense. No, says the Gemara. No, everybody could agree that there, you could certainly do Reb Nachman. Okay, the question is, okay, but what if you didn't do Reb Nachman? You can't say theoretically you could do Reb Nachman. Just talk about a case where a court did not appoint a guardian, right? So then we have a machlokas. That's the way I understand it. Like we said before, the machlokas is whether chashin lemiyuta. If you're chashin lemiyuta, then the presence of a fetus is a disaster because it could be a male. If you're not chashin lemiyuta, so then it doesn't make any difference. Maybe that's the whole issue. Anyway, remember before that Rabbi Shmuel quoted his father, Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher Rabbi Yossi. He quoted Rabbi Yossi as saying something very weird. A daughter allows others to eat truma, but a son doesn't, which makes absolutely no sense at all. So, I mean, in other words, assuming what? A daughter that we only have a Yoresh who is a Yoreshet. We only have a female daughter, that's all that, female daughter, a female heir. So listen, nowadays it's a big problem with female daughters. So we have a female heiress in this case, and that would mean that the Tzon Barzel eat Truma. But if there's males, why can't he eat Truma? I don't understand. What would that mean? Maishina ben de lo macha, what? A son cannot provide Tzon Barzel with Truma. I guess what you're talking about where there's an Uber, right? So you're telling me sons cannot provide because the chalko shall Uber. Yeah. And if there's only girls, so the Uber also is going to be the same problem. So bat nami lo tachyo b'nei chalko shall Uber. According to Rabbi Yossi, we always, whenever there's an Uber, so then you're not allowed to eat. Who cares of the fact that all of the heirs are female? What does that have to do with anything? Says the Omer Abaye, I have a brilliant solution, but it definitely requires some background. It's very simple, really, the case, because the case is telling you that we're dealing with a situation in which females, the presence of females, not the sole presence of females, the presence of females here would make it impossible for the sons to be able to feed Truma to the Avadim and would only allow the females. How is that? I got a brilliant idea. It's called Nechasim Muatim. Now, Nechasim Muatim is a din in one of the tna'im of the ketubah. So one of the things that the ketubah includes, whether it says so or not, remember, most of the ketubah is not written down because it's all part of the takana. This is included in the ketubah. One of the very important conditions of a ketubah is that the husband undertakes to provide any female children that are left after his death, to provide them with their full needs out of his estate until such time as they are ready to get married, or they actually marry if they marry younger than puberty. So what happens in that, in a regular situation, a guy dies and there is not enough property to support both the males and the females. The condition in the ketubah says the males can go banging on doors asking for charity. The females are the only ones who will be provided for. Ah, so if that's the, and that's the reason, simply because since it's very, very difficult and problematic and can cause all kinds of obvious issues for little girls to go banging on doors, trick or treating. So, you know, forget about the stuff they put in the candy. It's the problem with the candy. So over there, we made a takona, little girls don't go trick-or-treating. They get support, full support. Okay, so if that's the case, everything is backwards. Because then, if there's a girl, then the girl is the only one that owns everything, right? So that must be what it's talking about. So we're talking about nechasim u'atim. So we have only enough to feed the girls. And it's talking about a case where you had a son. There's at least one son together with at least one daughter. So in that case, the daughter is going to be the one who inherits. So therefore, let's think about it. What is the fetus? I don't care what the fetus is, you see, because in that case, if the fetus is a male, he's not going to be in a better position than the males who are born. He gets nothing, okay? Because fetuses are meant to knock on the door, trick or treat it. So therefore, it's only the girls that are going to be getting the support over here. And he doesn't hurt the avadim's eating of the truma because he's not going to be any better than the other boys. So lo adif mihai dekoi, he's not better than the ones that are already born. And if the fetus is a female, so then the question was, well, so then how does an unborn fetus? Because the only reason that that fetus would own anything if the fetus is a female is because of the fact that the Rabbanan made a takana that all of the money is used to support females. Well, they certainly didn't make that takana for unborn embryos, where we really don't have a problem of providing them support. Nature's taken care of that. So because of that, it was not a problem. She's not going to own anything as a fetus. Ha! So therefore, the fetus in this case is not a problem. That was the brilliant insight that Rabbi Shmuel was quoting. If it's a case of the chasim mu'atim, then as long as there's a girl, I don't care. But if you only have a ben, then you've got a problem with the fetus. Wait a second. So now you're saying that the case in the Braita can only work out where we're dealing with nechasim mu'atim, which means only the girls get anything, right? But keep reading the Braita. You'll see that that's not true. The next case in the Braita, Rabbi Shimon says, the Shimon Bar Yochai says, that if all of the children are females, then we're worried. Shema yimatzea ubar zachar. Maybe it will be a male fetus, and then the girls won't have anything. What do you mean? If we're talking about nechasim mu'atim, it's just the opposite. If the fetus is a male, he gets nothing. I mean, the chiddush is if the fetus is a female, she also gets nothing, even though all the females are getting, right? But I mean, this makes no sense at all. You can't be talking about nechasim mu'atim, because then the last case is absurd. He won't get anything if he's a male. No, okay, come on, man. I mean, obviously, you're supposed to use your brains, right? The first case in the Braita, as Abaya pointed out, can only work in the chasim mu'atim. The last case can only work in a normal case. It's not the chasim mu'atim, so the last case are going back to standard, a standard Yerusha of the chasim merubim. But wait a second here. Wait, I'm confused. Nechasim mu'atim means that the girls get support, right? But now you're saying that not only do they get support, they actually own whatever is in the estate. Because you're saying that they are able to allow the Nichsei Tzon Barzel Avodim to eat truma. Is that what you said? Well, is that true, that they actually own it? I understand they have a lien to be able to get food, but that doesn't mean they own it. I'll prove to you they don't own it. Nechasim mu'atim dibanot ninu? What, they really own it? Suppose these nasty boys, noting that there wasn't enough money to support both them and the girls, and they see what's coming, and they say, oh my God, they're going to go to Beis Din and they're going to get all the money. They make a deal the very moment the body isn't cold yet. They've already got somebody that they sold all of the property, and now they've finished it up. There's no more property that the girls can exercise their lien against. It says, if the Yatomim were Kadmu Machru B'Nechasim U'Atim, it's a good sale. Masha Machru Machru. So you see there was only a lien. It's not that they really own it. You can't use a lien to provide truma. So that means that if they didn't really own it, then how are the Avarim eating? Then the whole case falls apart, because then if there is a male fetus, then he's the only heir. Then why did the Tzon Barzel Avodim allowed to eat in the case of a pregnancy where there's women? It shouldn't make any difference, because they don't really own it and they can't provide unless they are heirs. Fine. But if the fetus is a male, we don't know that they're heirs. So we're back where we started from. So how come Rabbi Shimon, why are we saying over that Rabbi Shmuel ben Shor Rabbi Yossi quotes his father as saying that it's okay? Answers the Gemara. This is going to take a deft bit of pruning. Okay, how did the Mishnah begin? A bat Yisrael, or a bat Kohen, right? So when Rabbi Yossi was referring to a bat, he didn't mean a bat. He meant the bat who is the mother. That's what he meant. So he wasn't referring to these cases of girls or boys. My bat tiktani, the meaning of the word bat, means the mother. That's the point. So it means that the Nichsei Malug, she's allowed to give it. Mashenken the Ben, that's a reference to the children. And the children cannot give Nichsei Malug as long as she's pregnant, which is very simply in exactly in line with what Rabbi Yossi said all along. So what do you mean it's in line? It's not in line. It is what Rabbi Yossi said. So what are you adding? Yochi, I know Rabbi Yossi. I don't understand. So what's the Braisa adding? No, the Braisa is just pointing out that the whole thing was said by Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yossi, and he was quoting his father. That's all. It's not adding any new data. It's just telling me who said it. And now, a very special Richie moment coming up. And note that Zoom has placed the doc right on top of you. So uh-oh, you better do a very good uh-oh job. Never fails.
I was in trouble. Zog de heilige mitzvah.
Thank you, Sir Richard. So we've noted that we have a breakdown in the question of one direction, where we've juxtaposed one to achila for the Bas Yisrael, when we juxtapose that to preventing the achila for the Bas Kohen. Okay, so we indeed have a very fundamental breakdown. My God, this is as bad as matter and antimatter. So something has caused an imbalance here. Now, the first imbalance that we noted was the din of the Uber, but there's other imbalances. So let me give you a list. An Uber, a Yavam, an Erisin, a Cherish, a nine-year-old boy, all of these are the same. They will prevent the achila of a bas kohen of truma, but they will not provide for a bas yisrael to eat truma because of them. So that means, let's think about what each of the cases would be talking about. An uber we just had. So she was left after the death of her husband, this Bas Yisrael, or vice versa. Okay, so it does not give the right to eat truma if a Kohen's daughter was married to a Yisrael, she can't go back to her father's home, even though she only has an Uber. On the other hand, if she was a Bas Yisrael to a Kohen, she cannot continue to eat Truma as his being a Kohen. So this is an extension of that original imbalance of the Uber. The Yavam is a case, again, in the case of a Bas Kohen, married to Yisrael. He dies without children, and there's a Yavam. So she'll say, okay, so I'll go back to eating Truma from daddy. No, you won't, because there's a Yavam there, and that Yavam is a Yisrael, and he prevents you from going back to daddy. The other case is Erisin. So again, so we have a Bas Kohen who is only Mureset to a Yisrael. That's bad enough to mess her up. She can't eat any more of the Truma of her father, because it says, Ubat Kohen ki tiyela izar. Erisin is ki tiyela izar, so forget it. So she's overs. On the other hand, as we saw before, Erisin does not provide a right for a Kohen to give Truma. That was the old Coke bottle problem, according to Ula. It was a Gezerah, but anyway, but that's the bottom line. The case of the nine-year-old boy, now that has a lot of things that are going to require some detailed analysis tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem. But all of these cases are poslim velom achilin. And where we have a suffix, whether the child is 9 years old or not 9 years old, we'll have to go into that, what the problem is. Or let's say we don't know if this child reached puberty, a different case. We have a child who gave erisin to this woman, and we don't know whether at the time he was already at a stage in which his kinyan would have been a real kinyan. Did he reach puberty or not at that time? Or and there too, since we don't know, so we're going to have to be machmir in both directions. We have another case which has nothing to do with eating truma, but which also shares in the problem of needing to be machmir on two sides of a case. And that would be where a house collapses. We spoke about this case before. A house collapses on a man and his wife, but his wife is his brother's daughter, and they're both killed. We don't know, and we have no way of ascertaining who was killed first. So over there, if the wife died first, then this brother, if he has another wife, if the wife who was the daughter of his brother died first, then the surviving brother is supposed to marry his surviving wife, because there were no children. But if the brother died first, and only 1 second later, the daughter of the surviving brother died, then of course, there is no din of Yibam, because at that moment in which the Yibam took place, which is the moment of death, at that very moment, there was an erva that was there, and therefore the other wife is a tsaras erva, and the brother is not supposed to do yibam. So in this case, we go lechumra, and we can do only chalitza, obviously, and not yibam. Now, let me explain each one of these cases, says the Gemara. The Uber. Okay, let's take the two cases. If this woman is a bas kohen, and she married to a Yisrael who died, and now there's an Uber, okay, she cannot go back to her father's house. Why? Because it says in the pasuk v'shava al beit avia kine ureha, the way she was as a child. Well, she wasn't pregnant as a child, and she is pregnant now, so she sure can't go back to daddy. I dare some teenagers to try it. So it's exactly what the pasuk is saying, right? It's not kine ureha; she can't go back. If it's the opposite case, and she's a bat Yisrael to a kohen, remember that we said a fetus cannot feed her kohen, her truma. Because yalud machil, she'eno yalud, eno machil, which is the way we came out with the pasuk. So that's the first case. Now let's talk about the yava. Okay, so there's two possible cases. Again, if she's a bat kohen and she got married to Yisrael, then the fact that there is a yavam that she's waiting to take her or to give her chalitza, it says v'shava el beit avia, she can go home. She can't go home. It's not up to her to go home. She's in a tough spot. Somebody else is in charge of whether she's going to be going home, and therefore she's not included in the achila of the truma from her father. If it was the opposite case, she's a bat Yisrael, she went and got married to her kohen, the husband died, without children. So you say, oh, okay, but no matter what, I should be able to continue eating because I have a yavam, right? Wrong. A yavam, until he actually does the yibam or until he does chalitza and leaves her back with whatever his status was with the kohen, a yavam cannot give her truma because there is no kinyan kaspo here yet. And therefore, the Torah said kinyan kaspo. This is not kinyan kaspo. It's kinyan da'achiv. Erisin, okay? Let's take the two cases. If it's a bat kohen to Yisrael, erisin will definitely passel her. Why? Because it says ki tihiye le'izar. Bat kohen ki tihiye le'izar. So this is a tihiye. Da'akanya bahavaya. Even though it's only erisin, erisin is tihiye. And in the other direction, if she's a bat Yisrael, who now got Eris into a Kohen, he can't feed her Truma, even though technically he can be Derisa, but we have the old Coke bottle in the refrigerator problem, and therefore we don't allow it. And what about the next case where you said a Cheresh? Well, if it's a Bat Kohen to Yisrael, so she got married to a Cheresh, okay? A Cheresh can't really make a Kenyan, but the Rabbanan gave the Cheresh a Kenyan, remember? And in this case, she got married midrabbanan. So since Kanya betakanta derabbanan, the Rabbanan can definitely create a situation where she now becomes, it would be pasula from her father's original truma, because it looks like she's married to, and she is married midrabbanan. And the other way around, Bat Yisrael Kohen, I mean, the Rabbanan cannot create an ersatz kinyan kaspo. They can do that in terms of allowing them to live together as man and wife and so on, but they can't provide truma. The Torah said kinyan kaspo, and a cheresh is incapable of making any type of kinyan. Now, the one conundrum is this business about a 9-year-old boy, which we can't figure out precisely, which we will do tomorrow